In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please have your seat.
Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth.
This morning, I want to share with you very briefly on a message I've titled, When the Heavens Are Opened. When the heavens are opened. Just play very softly. When Jesus got to the waters to be baptized, what made his baptism different? People had been coming there. People had been sitting there listening to John. But when Jesus got there, something happened. You can make John feel unanointed until Jesus comes in. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1, Ezekiel was not just a prophet, he was a priest. Now, when you see people that combine two anointings together, that's a dangerous combination. So you can imagine that in captivity, Daniel was not the only star that was shining. There was a man, Ezekiel, in another location. You see, the river of Keba has become known to prophets as a place by the waters where the heavens are always open. So most times when we pray and fast as prophetic people, we are waiting for Keba to come to us. Because when Keba comes to you, when you get to that point in your worship and in your prayer, so you see, prayer is a journey. You are not praying to make God feel like I've done my morning quota. So that God will not say you didn't pray this morning. It's not that thing we used to do on campus where you will say, if you don't pray in the morning, that the remaining day will be somehow. You know that thing? If I don't pray every morning, that day will be somehow. No. When we start praying in the morning, we are already on a journey to a location in the spirit where the visions of God become very clear and open. You cannot doubt that you saw something. I had a vision a few days ago. I was sharing some of my father in the Lord, Pastor Shea. But I won't give you the details because it's unbelievable to me myself. But I saw that something happened in Abuja. And I don't know. Father, come and... I'm fasting seriously for that day that a police officer will assault me and we just go crippled on the spot. I'm fasting for it. I'm fasting to that point. I want to get there. Like Elijah. If Elijah operated a level before Jesus came, and God said what Elijah operated was even lower than what Solomon operated, that there is no one greater than Solomon. No one is as great as Solomon in the Old Testament because of his wisdom. So even calling down fire, God did not elevate it above wisdom. Somebody hearing me now? You see, sometimes it's not that God cannot release some things on you, but whether you have the wisdom to judiciously walk around that thing is another thing. You'll just kill everybody. But it doesn't mean the anointing should not be there. Doesn't mean it should not be there. So when you read the Old Testament, you see what was possible in their time. But I hope you know that as anointed as Elijah was, he didn't always have the Holy Ghost with him. He had the Holy Ghost upon. He didn't have Holy Ghost with him. So that's a serious matter. What that means is that there are times in the life of Elijah where he's vulnerable. Come on, someone is hearing me now. When a man doesn't have the Holy Ghost always with him, there are moments if you watch him, you can tell that man is vulnerable. So what God did when he gave us Jesus and Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost was to fill in the gap for that vulnerability. I don't know if someone is hearing me. You need to hear me in the spirit now, because if you hear me, something will break out. That the point where Elijah became afraid and he had to run, God calculated that part, factorized it, and gave you the Holy Ghost. Because when Elijah needed to deal with the 400 prophets, he needed power. To deal with a Jezebel, you need Shekinah. The glory that resides within a man, based on his encounter with God. Not power, not anointing. The strength of your walk with God is what you need to take out a Jezebel, who is a principality. I hope you know that Ahab, who was her husband, was anointed with oil. But her anointing became compatible with that one. Jezebel's anointing became compatible with the anointing, because it is possible to adulterate the anointing, but you cannot adulterate the glory. The glory will come against, is configured to come against anything that insults it. Elijah was a child of glory, but he was not always with the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus died and rose again, the first thing he said to the disciples in that room, say, peace be unto you. And he breathed upon them. And what did he say? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's John chapter 21. The moment he breathed on them, this time, did you hear that anything he said that they forgot? They didn't forget again. Because a Peter who never read the Bible, was a fisherman, will now stand up in Acts chapter 2 and say, this is that which was spoken. But the journey didn't start that day. It started from when Jesus receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was a direct command. Jesus before then could not give them the Holy Ghost. He only promised them. But being the type of a new creation, the first of our kind and our breed, he was able to open the gates for us by going and tasting death for us, and then becoming the firstborn from the dead, not Lazarus. The firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. That's another thing. So when you understand what I'm sharing with you now, you understand how powerful you are, how extremely powerful you are, and how that you can be anointed. But if you have a knowledge gap, you will find yourself bowing down to angels like John. What was the difference in the Peter that ran away because he couldn't face a woman and the Peter whose shadow? There's something he knows now. When the Spirit of glory comes upon you, when God opens the heavens, it's not just for power, it's so that you can see him. And I was sharing with some of us a few days ago about the categories of angelic beings and some of their hierarchy. And I explained that in the realm of the spirit, not every angel can behold the face of God. There are some that are wired. If God wants to come here now, you know, if the president wants to come in here, or a governor, the security detail comes in a day before. I don't know if you've heard. It's the way they work. They come in a day before, check whether people have planted bomb, or you have something. Where's the food we eat? Who is cooking it? No, we won't eat. You drink water. Then they bring their water from Aso Rock. For one man, no. He want to kill you, we kill you. The reason we not kill you is because, you know, in Nigeria, we're suffering and smiling. But there are some angels, they are called the cherubims. They are created in a way that they can stand before him, behold him, worship him, and they are not destroyed by the glory that is coming from the throne. Not every angel can go that close. Some of them, we send them here to be your guardian angels. But there is among the categories of angels that I was sharing with someone here, Pastor Agnes, that are on earth, but they behold the face of God freely. Jesus said, these little children, their angels always behold the face of their father. These children, their angels, without pre-appointment, these young ones, their angels can go into God's presence now and they'll say, Baba, your son, the one that you said in 20 years will be an apostle. Something's wrong with him. If except you become like a little child, there are certain matters of the kingdom in terms of the glory, in terms of the power that cannot be committed to you. So it is not just being a little child literally, but being a child, ever desiring him, ever wanting him, ever being satisfied only by him, ever having no other options. Come on, say open heavens. In Revelation chapter 4, John was praying and the heavens opened. And he said, the moment the heavens opened, I saw the visions. He said, I heard a voice say, come up hither. And he began to see visions, he began to hear. What I'm sharing with you on this mountain is that it is possible for you to begin to live a supernatural life where your spiritual ears are always open in the realm of God. Not that you want to be a pastor, it's just normal for you. It's your advantage. Come on, say it's my advantage. The ability to plug my ears into the ears of God, and you are hearing what he's saying, is your advantage, is your the benefit of being a child of God. So when you see a prophet or a pastor doing it, it's only to remind you that you have not gotten to where you are supposed to be. Because when the visions of God come to you, then every other thing is confirmation. It is in that realm you know you don't marry a woman because of beauty. In that realm. Here, beauty is a major consideration. In that realm, beauty is like the 100 or 99th. It's after we have checked the other boxes. You know, I took a very dangerous risk when I was going to get married. We didn't do genotype, we didn't do all those things. Now, don't do that. Try to find out. But do you know why I didn't do it? Because God told me. I felt if God told me, those boxes have been checked. So I didn't do it. And I was lucky I escaped. It was the work of faith. No, it's the work of revelation. My assumption is, if God says this is the person, God has checked all the boxes. That's all. There's nothing to talk about again. But you see, the issue here is the issue of accurately learning. And can I tell you that for you to operate in revelation and master revelation, there are levels. You have to start from the scratch. Many of you are deferring your training. And a day will come, you will need God to speak now, but God will not jump classes. Because even if he appears to you and say, I am the Lord Jesus, you will not believe. You have not developed your faith to the capacity where an angel can walk through the wall and enter your room. So I saw a change of government in Nigeria. I saw a change of government. I don't know. And I saw two people that came into the government. One is from the southeast. So, as vice president. But it's okay, leave it. Delete. Some things are only open. And I tell you that when the heavens are open, the dream world, your dream world, is no more an opportunity for Satan to be pressing you. Some of you left that gate very open. So, porous. They just come and say, let's go. We have one key, master key. They've even changed the lock of the gate. You didn't know. They lock you out. The only time they want, they are just like, let's go and check that guy. It's our customer. And they enter, they press you. And then you wake up with headache. Some of you even don't remember somebody press you. The realm of the spirit when you are exposed to it, helps you understand why the Bible is the way it is. The book of Quran, or the Holy Quran, has the name of Jesus 25 times more than Muhammad. The Bible makes no reference to any other person. We don't need anybody to validate what is written. Some people don't know that Mary spoke in tongues at the upper room. The mother of Mary. The mother of Jesus. The mother of Jesus that said, go and bring him now. If I'm the one that gave birth to him, let him come here. And his mother is outside. But when the Holy Ghost came, did you see the way Peter was speaking in that upper room? Say, you know, Peter started speaking like an anointed man. I was surprised. You know, you look at the way Peter spoke, like, is he not the one that could not face one small girl that we sent to him? The guy was speaking like one that had an encounter, but the Holy Ghost had not come. And Mary the mother was there like, ha, everybody is quiet in a meditative mode, but we are quiet for different reasons. This one is thinking my son is dead. But the Bible said when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. There is a fully come in this arrangement. What we are doing is that we have been building momentum from the first day of this fast. Can we continue this fast for another 60 days? I won't get... People are going to vote me out of this government because you want to use hunger and kill everybody. Sincerely, your investment of time can determine the kind of window that opens. The number one problem that works against the advancement of spiritual men and gives them authority in the weight of the spirit is laziness. Not the devil. Laziness. Some people can't imagine themselves not taking a picture in a week, so they need to eat because they want to look fresh. How many of you have lost weight since we started? You've lost weight. So you don't need to lose weight again. Some of us don't need to lose weight. But you should come and thank me because some of you have been trying to go to the gym. And I helped you without collecting one naira. I just placed you on 30 days fast. Even though some of you are breaking by four. You see them, they are laughing now. Karabakan. We are on a journey. This man started from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Do you think he sat down with his scroll and was just writing? Karimatakaya balaba. Karabadaba. It was when God said to the church of Ephesus, he wasn't looking at it, was Karabadaba. It was in the moment of prayer that those revelations were coming. Then after God finished chapter 3, he now said, now look up. He said, and I saw the heavens open. There is a kind of sight we must trust God for before this fasting is over, where your spiritual eyes will see clearly the way you are seeing. There's no guesswork. There's no guesswork. It's open. It's either open or not. But you see, many times for us to open the eyes of men, we must teach on it. Because one of the most terrible things that can happen to a believer is for him, for the heavens to be opened over him, and he's not aware. When the heavens are opened over you, the rules of heaven superimposes on earth. Which means that there are certain things you will now be able to do. Not because you are of the earth, but because you are now of the heavenly. The rules of heaven will now begin to control what is happening. You will sow in the land. There will be no rain, and yet you will have a harvest. I want you to hear me with your spirit because I've not even started preaching this message, but my time is up. One of the mistakes people make is that they plant their seeds when the heavens are closed. You plant your seed. And let me tell you another indicator when the heavens are going to be open over you. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 110, verse 1 to 3, it says, in the day of his power, the people shall be willing. What that means is that the day God chooses to reveal his power in your life, it will bring people into your space. People will remember it. People will walk into your life. Someone that has forgotten will just show up. Somebody will just call you. Someone that always calls you and is always playing with you will become serious and tell you something. In the day of his power, the day that God has determined that on this day I will reveal my power in this person. Come on, are you hearing me now? The day God determined that on so-so day, he wrote it down on the, what's today's date? 11 days have gone. Wow. Stop counting, no. If you keep counting, the day will become very slow. I don't check the calendar anymore. You don't need it. But the Lord said, he said, the day I have, on the 12th, I'm prophesying, on the 12th, tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow. Because something is going to happen tomorrow.
Yes.
12th.
Yes. I receive it.
Someone is going to get good news tomorrow.
Yes.
Let me tell you the realm of the prophetic I'm talking about now is the realm of the potter. It's a realm that is called the realm of the potter, where the potter takes the clay and then he decides to mold it into anything. And then it stands. And nobody can say, why did you do it that way? The moment I said it, there was an activation. Listen to me. The day God has decided to reveal his power in your life, on the 12th, 2 p.m. on the 12th, hear me, Bara, 2 p.m., there's going to be a movement in the heavens. And God will raise men who will come and they will speak for you.
Yes.
When an atmosphere is thick, you can take a knife and begin to cut it.
Amen.
Like pizza, you cut it.
Yes.
When John got into that realm, God spoke to him about everybody except himself. Because he was already connected to the mainframe. To the power grid of heaven. If there was any fault in John's life, it didn't matter anymore. Because the current was flowing direct from Kenji Dam. Direct. Any iniquity, it will purge it, to consume it. You are connected.
Amen.
You are connected.
Amen.
Now, that amen is not strong enough to carry this power. You are connected.
Amen.
Don't plant your seed under closed heavens. Don't plant your seed when you have unresolved issues with God. If God tells you block that person on WhatsApp, God didn't forget what he said. It's you that forgot. You thought maybe with time God will forget. You know, many of the iniquities today happen on WhatsApp. We have e-sin, e-iniquity. It does. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. Now, when I come back, if you remind me, I will explain this scripture in the womb of the morning. I will come back and teach on this one. I will tell you that anything you are seeing in your life, you secure it in the morning. But I will come back. But as I'm talking now, I'm not just talking, I'm releasing an atmosphere over this place. Now, when all the people were baptized, how many people were baptized? So they came. Put them in water. God bless you. Put them in water. God bless you. Put them in water. God bless you. Put them in water. Then Jesus also came and being baptized and praying. You see one of the conditions for open heavens? Praying. He didn't come in the flesh. He saw the way others came and left. But he said, no, I cannot come all this distance to be like them. See that? Supernatural transformation is a personal thing. We all came together, but we will not get the same experience.
Yes.
Some people are waiting for the service to end and go and open their shop. We didn't come for you. Say Jesus came. Look at the attitude he came with. He went to the last. He was last on the line. Allowed all the people. Because he didn't want anybody to be saying, oh God, stand like this, stand like this. Go. And John said, Kerima. And as John was speaking over him, he was also speaking. And dipped him into the waters. And the moment he came out, there was the Holy Ghost, the heaven. God could not resist the communication because it's like the cherubims in the mercy seat, they always talk to one to another. So when you have one that is higher, the heavens were compelled. And the Holy Ghost came upon him gently, like a dove. He didn't fall under the anointing. If he was not sensitive, he would not know something happened. Because he came gently. Come on, say gently. Came gently. But forcefully led him into the wilderness. The instruction was very stern. The instruction was very strong. But the coming was gentle. If you are not patient, you will not know that something is already happening to you. You'll be waiting for your experience to be like another. And then you miss out. When people respond to God under closed heaven, they have problem. When they respond to God under ignorance, they also be stuck. Not knowing what God is doing now can take you out of the process. Because you cannot participate in something you don't know. Do you know that that day the Holy Ghost came upon him, most people there didn't know anything happened. As I'm talking to you now, something can be going on your inside. And even your wife will not know. It's like rumblings. You want to open heavens? Do you know that that day the Holy Ghost came on Jesus? Jesus didn't have any power to do miracle. So the Holy Spirit said, we have given you the first installment. When you read Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost when John laid hands on him. But he became anointed with power when he came back from the wilderness. It wasn't a one-day experience. You must allow the time factor to play its role. What many of us are asking for, we don't want to be cleansed for it. You may fast for 30 days and God will use 29 days to clean you. Revealing things by his word, by his spirit. Set this one in order. Set this one in order. From today, don't open your WhatsApp by 4 a.m. Stop it. He said some things between you and him. If you preach it, people will shout. But he said between you and me, to carry this thing, you cannot touch that phone except to check time. Don't open, even if you see all the mails and chats dropping like rain. Don't. So when people say we want to experience God, God say, ha, this, your phone is already saying insufficient memory. We need to delete some things here. Most people's lives are online. So I understand God will talk. Paul cannot live in this day. He will be angry. It's people like us that can live in a day like this. The Bible said as he came to the waters, he was praying. Then he got immersed in the Holy Ghost. Then the Holy Ghost said to him, you know that wilderness we saw that day, say we are going there now. So you enter alone. They did not give him time to pack his bag. So the clothes he took there was the clothes he came back with. He didn't brush for 40 days or for 40 days fasting. Excuse me, sir. When he got to the wilderness, what was he doing? What was he doing there? He was also praying. There are some disciplines that the glory of God will rest on. There are some disciplines that the power of God will rest on. That flow of revelation you are always having, there are certain things he rests on. And listen to me, as long as you keep making excuse, you have made compatible with the anointing, the spirit of Jezebel. That spirit that says that you can combine. I can be the king, I'm anointed, and my wife can be the queen of the kingdom of darkness. And we are fine. We just love ourselves. It's like this American gospel now. Don't judge. Don't judge. You're perfect? No, I'm not perfect. We just... But all we need is love. Yeah, amen. All we need is love. In some of these black American churches, say, Jesus didn't condemn that woman. She came all that distance. She was broken, messed up. Her lipsticks were off. Her fingertips were all messed up. She just came, but they brought her anyway, and they didn't know what to do with her. They were going to stone, and Jesus just wrote on the wall. He wrote on the floor. Oh, preach it, Pastor. Oh, hallelujah. Where we are going? It's not this kind of message. There's a place for that. Amen. A place of restoration. But when God restores you, He restores you to take you into glory. He doesn't restore you to leave you there. Some people are just satisfied with being restored. God said, the reason why I preserved your life that day is because there is something about your life nobody knows that I'm about to show you. Eventually, when Jesus rose up from the dead, there was only one woman standing at his tomb. It was that same woman that everybody gave up on. But she had learned Christ. She had learned to sit with his glory. She has learned how to walk with God. And when Peter ran away, she was there with the tears of intercession. When Jesus came, she was weeping. Weeping in the scripture relates to intercession. You said on this day, and for the first time, she saw an angel. And then the Lord appeared to her first and called her name in a way that only he could have called her. Say, Mary. And then she looked. Rabboni. There's a way he calls you, you know he's the one. Let me tell you something happened, Pastor Charles. You were leading prayers, was it last week? Sometime last week. Or 2 weeks ago. Last week. I woke up in the morning, so while Mixella was following the prayers, I didn't know who was praying. I want to tell you something about how to hear God now. My time is up. I was listening to him, so I was like, we are plenty in this church. Oh. People are even leading prayers. I don't know who is talking. You know, over the air, you can sound a bit different. Until at some point, towards the end of the prayer meeting, Charles now said, like Pastor Benga was sharing with us last week, the way he mentioned my name, I say it is Charles. Then the Lord said, now I want to teach you something. The Lord said to me, there are times I will speak to you. You will not be sure I'm the one. He said, the only way to ascertain my voice is to stay there. When you continue listening, then one, he will now use a particular language you are familiar with. Then you will say, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. You know, you are sensing something, but like, am I sure? Then he will call your name. The way Charles called my name, I say, it is Charles. All of a sudden, everything now made sense. The way he was praying now made sense. I say, I suppose don't know. God now told me, every time I speak to you and you are not sure, stay in my presence. Don't rush out. You'll go out of that opportunity, you will go and start again. God used Charles to teach me something very profound. I had known it, but I had never known it that way. What most of us do is that we step out of the presence, you now call Pastor. Pastor, I had a dream. You left the prayer. The one who spoke to you has capacity to interpret. Come on, say amen. I said the one who spoke to you has capacity to interpret. If you always depend on your pastor, you will be a spiritual dwarf. What God is raising is giants. Giants. It doesn't mean you can't talk to me. But my goal is to, the way I understand it, I want you to also understand it. I just said something. No, let me close. We'll come back. I want us to close first service now. Did you hear something?
Yes, sir.
When he speaks to you, stay there. Every time you think you are not sure, don't rush out. Stay there. Stay there. Open your mind into his will. Worship him. Stay there. Don't, even if you are driving, don't leave. And how do you do that? You carry him in your thoughts. You carry him in your mind. You are driving, but you are still there with him. And if I come back on another day, I will show you the book of Psalm 1, maybe Psalm 139, where he talked about thy thoughts are always with me. I will show you that scripture. You will now see that one of the primary design for your thoughts is to be carriers of eternal realities. That your thought doesn't think, like this is fine today. You are using that thought for lesser things. And you can build strongholds with thoughts. You can build strongholds with imagination.
Yes, sir.
Right? And Paul spoke to us about bringing down strongholds and every height in every thought. You can also raise spiritual pillars with thoughts. You can raise spiritual levels. You can sustain spiritual levels with the kind of things you think about. Just the way you can use your thoughts and your imagination to set up satanic strongholds in your mind. You can use your thoughts, because every time God talks to you, you don't leave his presence in your room and walk away. You carry that thought into the bus. You carry that thought into the car. You carry that thought into the office. So they just say, like, she has been in the presence of God for 22 hours. You are watching film, the thought is still there. You are in the kitchen, the thought is still there. It's not always about praying.
Yeah.
It's a posture mentally that I'm ever before him. Once you train yourself to be like that mentally, anything that is offensive to that atmosphere, if it comes into your space, you will know. Did somebody hear that? Anything that is offensive, that is anti-God. When somebody comes out, come and do this business for us. The thing will repair. The atmosphere and the aura will repair that thing. You just say, I just know. I should not be with that person. I just knew. It is the atmosphere. You experience it sometimes, so. But now we are saying we want to experience it more regularly. And the key is to sustain that divine thought of that eternal reality, the possibility of always being with him. Where, like Elijah, you can say, the Lord God before whom I stand. You are always there. It happens here. You sanctify your thoughts. That's why the scripture tells us, what see Daniel, that after a man is born again, we need to put the person on a program of renewing the mind. Renewing the mind, not the spirit. Renewing the mind with doctrines like this. Renewing the mind with supernatural possibilities like this. Renewing the mind with heavenly thoughts. Renewing the mind with the word of God. So that wherever you are, your mind has something to play with. It's playing with. It's playing with. You are always anointed because your mind is now yielded to the spirit. Your mind is bent on his knee before your human spirit. And your spirit kneels before God. And whoever the soul goes with, it will drag the body. That's why Jesus can walk on the road and somebody just touch the hem of his garment and he's healed. Because there's no restriction in the flow of power. The power is customized and covered in the spirit. But if you stretch out in faith, you get something. But yeah, that day there were people. They were thronging him. You know, our PA, set our motivational speakers. There are people that just like to go with the man of God and take picture of the man of God. So I was with Apostle on so day. Your destiny. There are people that just like it. Yet a woman who knew, whose goal was clear to her. I have one opportunity to see Jesus. If he goes today, we don't know the year again. And actually, Jesus was going to his grave. She just managed the M. This was what she could touch. This one. It doesn't look like much. But he pulled something and Jesus turned. Ah. Who touched me? Somebody here knows something. Somebody knows how to reach out in faith. Somebody here knows something. Somebody knows that when there are no answers and there are many questions, somebody knows has learned. She learned it after 12 years of going to doctors. She realized she's just running tests. They've tested her head, tested her leg. She touched it. And when she came, excuse me, give me that part of the scripture where she came out. After Jesus said, who touched me? Look for that. Is it? Give me that, if you can get me. Is it the next verse? Where Jesus said, who touched me? And she came out. I think this, it should be 45, 46. Someone should please check it out. Quickly. I need to close. Are you blessed? Now, if you have encounters in the spirit in this month of fasting, and you don't learn how to sustain that tempo, the door will close on that move of the spirit after 31 days. Then you wait here under 1 year. What I'm telling you is how you can hold that dimension and grow in it. And that's why you see Bob Fitch says, to keep your holy face ever before. It's still the same process he's describing. To keep his holy face. You do it mentally. Do you have that scripture? Now, look at where I'm going here in verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling. What did she do next? That is how the elders worship him. That is how the elders worship him. When you see the issue of worship, you learn it. You see the way they do it in heaven and you copy. It's not all this thing we are doing. We don't even know if we are in the club or we are in the church. When she saw that Jesus knew her, this is not about how I came, how you dress. We have too many big men in church. That is why God has left us to be doing what we want. Because if he comes in the glory, we cause problem. See, God forbid that we become that generation that we cannot prostrate in worship before him simply because of the dress we wore. Who told you that you cannot honor him, lie on your face during worship? Who told you? Who told you he doesn't check those things? She fell down before him and she declared, she was sharing her testimony. She was giving him glory. And how Jesus had healed her. There are people here that God healed and they felt because it was not a big matter. They kept it. They told God, thank you in the bedroom. Oh, did you get the healing in the bedroom? Next verse. When Jesus saw what she did and how she did it, Jesus spoke over her. Say, my daughter. Excuse me, how old was Jesus? Oh? Jesus called a woman who had suffered most of her life. She was probably older than him. Because when she started going to doctors, it means she had money then. She wasn't living by faith the way Jesus was living by faith. She had money. Her own faith is here. It's in the bank account. My daughter, rejoice. Don't worry. Be of good comfort. Already die. How do you explain that one in English? No, already die. How do you explain that in Adefna and Yoruba? I'm not joking. Adefna. Your situation has been turned to joy. Google it. What made her whole? What made her whole? Excuse me. The power of God supplied the healing. But what made her whole? Because before she came, she already believed. This is my last bus stop. If Jesus can't do it, it can't be done. After I leave this church now, I'll now go and do a test at Reddington. I came today for a touch that will last a lifetime. We also make the mistake as believers. My wife was healed of a terrible tooth condition, and the doctor was saying we should bring $210,000 to fix the tooth. And me, I have anointing, but I don't have plenty money. So when we started pricing and the thing could not really come down below $100,000, I have to release my faith. Because I will come back and I will preach a message such as I have. The title of that message is such as I have. Oh my God. Such as I have, I give unto you. It was that is a message I'm working on. When the message is done, I will come and preach it. Such as I have. I don't have money. Look at me. He said, look at us. Look at us. Such as I have. Such as, because when there's contact, you see, you can transfer the power through any of the gates of the body. You have the eye gates, you have the ear gates. That's why people can be healed when they hear God's word. Because this is one of the gates into the spirit, into the soul. Peter said, look at us. The moment he looked, there was contact. Whatever I have, I give to you. And the guy was healed. Contact. You don't learn contact if you are always in a rush. There are brothers now, they cannot propose to a sister because they're always looking at the ground. We need to make eye contact. Say, Sister Shadia, I just thank God for your life. So you handle prayer meeting tomorrow. That's the way we are doing it in our fellowship. You won't get wife like this. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. That word peace is the word shalom. Heaven's provision for your safety in the midst of the crisis. That's a prophecy. Heaven's provision for your safety in the midst. So the shalom is a realm given to believers that makes you sleep when the storm is raging. Father, let these realms that we have spoken of be opened over everyone that is seated now. The realms of peace, the realms of faith, the realms of open heavens, the realms of open eyes, the realms of open ears, the realms of supernatural understanding, that today as we sit under the authority of your word, no one will live here without a definite and clear word from the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now give him praise because he has heard you.